This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition. Caroline, Lynn and Ezra here at 6:39 p.m. Now, our next story is about the infamous luxury yacht, Equanimity. It's a long, rather winding tale with three main players, Malaysia, Indonesia and the United States. But to start with, this yacht purportedly belongs to the infamous Joe Lowe, who had an arrest warrant against him and remains at large.
So that's right. The value of this super yacht is apparently $250 million, mm-hmm. or 1 billion ringgit. And it's supposed to be quite swanky. It's said to have, you know,
I wish I had the background music for swanky descriptions.
Because we really need it. It's said to have a marble and gold leaf interior, a spa, a sauna, a 20-meter swimming pool, a movie theatre, a lift, and get ready for this, a helipad.
I mean, what's a yacht without a helipad?
It's a lifestyle of rich and famous Robin Leach.
Well, that's a very fancy yacht. So anyway, this expensive vessel docked at our shores at Port Klang today around 12:40 in the afternoon. But this story goes back to February when the Equanimity was seized by Indonesian police at the request of US authorities as part of the whole 1MDB corruption probe by the US Department of Justice. So the yacht is among the $1.7 billion worth of assets that the U.S. investigators said were illegally bought using money diverted from the 1MDB State Investment Fund.
Right. And as an aside, as we heard earlier on the show, Najib Razak claimed today that he has no knowledge of the purchase of the yacht.
No. Yeah. You know, he's never been on board.
That's right. So back to the story. After Indonesia seized the yacht in April, a Jakarta court ruled that the yacht was wrongfully impounded. It was then returned to its owners after they got a court motion declaring the seizure illegal, though it was not allowed to leave the Tanjung Benoa port in Bali. Then in July, Indonesian police seized it again, this time after receiving a formal request for legal assistance from the United States.
Right. And as for how it came to us, we told you it was long, it's winding. So Reuters reported that after a personal request by Dr. Mahathir, who visited Indonesia in June, the decision was made to hand over Equanimity to Malaysia. And according to reports, the yacht was escorted here by Indonesian police as well as local marine police teams. And when it arrived, investigators involved then conducted their respective investigations.
Okay, so that included actually personnel from Bukit Aman Special Branch, the High Court, the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission, the Attorney General's Chambers, Navy, and Marine Police. That's quite a posse. Very impressive.
Yes, indeed. Now, the Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir, gave a statement on Twitter responding to Equanimity's release by Indonesia to Malaysia. Here's some audio from that.
Saya ucap terima kasih kepada Indonesia kerana memberi kerjasama yang erat dengan Malaysia dan menyelesaikan satu daripada masalah yang kita hadapi kerana kita percaya bahawa kapal ini adalah milik kerajaan Malaysia kerana dianya dibeli dengan duit Malaysia yang dicuri oleh pihak tertentu. Kalau ada mana-mana pihak yang ingin dakwa bahawa kapal ini mereka punya, mereka boleh tunjuk bukti yang kereta ini, kapal ini dimiliki oleh mereka. Kita ingin tahu daripada mana mereka dapat wang yang begitu banyak untuk membeli kapal yang begitu mahal harganya. Kalau mereka tidak dapat bukti bahawa duit ini datang daripada diri mereka sendiri dan bukan duit yang dicuri, maka mereka berhak mendapat balik kapal ini. Saya betul-betul berterima kasih kepada kerajaan pemerintah Indonesia dan terutamanya kepada Bapa Jokowi, Presiden Indonesia yang begitu bekerjasama dengan Malaysia.
Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng also made reference to the yacht yesterday, saying that he would want to auction it off to recover as much money as possible.
So, as the Ministry of Finance, we always want to realize these assets so that we can at least get something back. I mean, leaving it there, every day you got to pay maintenance costs, you got to see the asset deteriorate, diminish and depreciate. I'm sorry, I'm in very technical here, but No, this is has a finance minister. We want to see, we want to get the best value. So I think after it is being reviewed, after it's been viewed, I think the end of the day is still that the yacht must be sold off so that at least the people of the country can get something back. You must know this is a 1 billion ringgit yacht, $252 million. So it is expensive. I don't know how much we can get back, but we should try to claw back as much as possible.
So YB Lim also said that they're considering opening up part of the yacht for public viewing after the contents have been inventoried.
Right. So this is where things get, I guess, really complicated. If it's not already
complicated enough.
So the yacht might finally have made it there, but the Department of Justice had earlier gained protective custody of it to take it back to U.S. waters and sell it. And according to reports by Malaysia Kini, they're now asking for their courts to suspend investigations in order to formally inquire what Malaysia's intentions are for the yacht. Jolo's lawyers filed a notice in U.S. courts yesterday that they were opposed to the suspension of proceedings and also claimed that the transfer was illegal.
And then, closer to home, Attorney General Tommy Thomas came out to state today that the transfer was done by the book according to Malaysian laws and said that the DOJ had, quote-unquote, asserted ownership of the yacht on behalf of Malaysia and 1MDB because monies belonging to us were used to purchase it. He added that the mutual legal assistance treaties between Indonesia, the US and Malaysia were activated and that, again, I quote, sensitive and delicate negotiations were conducted at the highest levels among the countries to accomplish the handover.
All right, and then today, lawyers acting on behalf of 1MDB alongside two of its subsidiaries and the government said that they all claimed ownership of the yacht because they believe that their money was misappropriated to purchase the vessel. Now, if you're still following this, congratulations. Really?
That's right. Well, okay. So we're going to get the perspective from a lawyer on the matter. We have with us Andrew Koo, the co-chair of the Bar Council Subcommittee on Anti-Money Laundering and Anti-Terrorism Financing. Andrew, good to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Now, hopefully you can shed some light on this issue. So right now, three countries have stakes on the yacht, because the yacht Equanimity. What's your point of view about the respective interests of the United States, Indonesia, and Malaysia when it comes to the yacht, and who's supposed to be the arbiter here?
Well, I think just by way of background, I think all along we had assumed that the yacht was going to be seized under existing anti-money laundering legislation as basically the proceeds from an unlawful activity. But I think this has now changed because 1MDB has now asserted that it is the rightful owner of the yacht based on the documents that have been presented in California by the U.S. Department of Justice. So the question now is, I think, one of jurisdiction, whether it's the Malaysian courts that will now decide who actually owns Equanimity, or whether there will be a challenge by perhaps people claiming ownership of the yacht in the U.S. to say that, you know, they will not be able to get a fair hearing in Malaysia and that the U.S. should continue, or the California court should continue to have jurisdiction over this matter.
Right. Speaking of fair hearing, Andrew, Jolo's lawyer filed a statement on Sunday, this we know, right, contesting the legality of the yacht's handover from Indonesia to Malaysia. You know, he's said that taking this asset shows just how quickly the rule of law disappears in Mahathir's regime. Can you perhaps help us understand what's at play here from a legal perspective? And do you view the seizure to be illegal at all?
Well, I haven't actually seen the filing, so I wouldn't want to comment on that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are provisions in the mutual assistance in criminal matters arrangements that are signed between Malaysia and Indonesia, Malaysia and the U.S., and Indonesia perhaps, and the U.S. as well, that would help facilitate the combating of cross-border crime. And this could well be one of the instances where the cooperation of the law enforcement agencies of the three countries was put in place to effect a movement of the yacht from Indonesia to Malaysia,
right,
with the consent probably, or at least with the agreement of the U.S. authorities. That seems to be the case.
Mm.
And we're talking about the ownership of the yacht with, I think, sort of a tacit understanding that nobody wants the yacht in order to sail on it. You know, it's more about...
Speak for yourself there.
Yes, I'm sorry. I am sorry. But it seems to be more about who gets it in order to sell it. And as we heard earlier, Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng had said that he plans to auction it off to recover as much money as possible before it all depreciates. And now with this new... with this new
development,
yeah, entering the news where 1MDB alongside the, you know, two of its subsidiaries, the government, now they're claiming it. What does that mean in terms of who gets to sell the yacht, if at all?
Well, I mean, it begs the question, who owns the yacht? I think so it goes back to the Malaysian courts, I think, to have to decide based on evidence that will have to be produced before it as to, you know, who actually owns the yacht, where was the money... that was used to buy the yacht, where did that money come from? So 1MDB will make its claim, and there may well be a competing claim from the Cayman Islands company that is perhaps the registered owner of the yacht as well. So they may have to come to Malaysia and contest whatever documents or allegations that 1MDB will put up as to who is the rightful owner of the yacht.
Can I just say... it seems as if in most modern negotiations, there is a pretty easy way to determine who owns something. Why is it so particularly complex in this case? Most of the time, you know, in terms of who owns what, there is a paper trail.
Right.
Something was signed at some point. In this case, why do we not know that? I mean, when we talk about the kinds of evidence that need to be shown in order to say, look, I own this, I want it back, what kind of evidence are we looking at?
Well, I mean... obviously, on the one hand, we are looking at title and legal ownership papers, but it's more than just the papers. It's the question of the funds. Where did the funds come from? Whose funds are they? Remember, before the election, 1MDB basically said, we don't own Equanimity. We've got nothing to do with us. Now, with the change in the management and change in the board, they have changed their approach to this, and they are now asserting ownership. So it's a question of tracing the funds. Where did these funds come from? And that, if your readers will probably be aware, that's the whole crux of the 1MDB issue. Where exactly did the money come from? How did it arrive?
Right.
Where did it go to?
Yeah.
Who has it? And who used it?
Well, Andrew, thank you very much for joining us on the program and for sharing your perspective with us.
You're very welcome.
That was a lawyer, Andrew Koo, co-chair of the Bar Council Subcommittee on Anti-Money Laundering and Anti-Terrorism Financing. I must say, when we were sort of leading up to this story, it was one thing just to get sort of wrap your head around it, and with each particular turn, it's like an Ocean's 11 type of...
Do you
know what I mean?
This would make a great heist film.
Yeah, it would.
I'd watch it.
I think part of it is already a film, isn't it? The corruption scandal.
Yes, well, I'm sure it has to be at some point. Here's some music by Greta Van Fleet, Highway Tune. It's BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.